Well, I want to begin this morning by asking, how close do you feel to God this morning? In your hearts, privately, you can be honest. How close do you feel to God this morning? Perhaps there is somebody here who knows that they're not a Christian yet, and you say, well, if there is a God, I'm pretty distant at the moment. But maybe you're thinking about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we've been Christians many years, and to ask that question, well, it's a bit of a grey area. How close do you feel to God this morning? And of course, there can be all kinds of reasons why we might not feel close to God. Now, please, I want to assume that there are lots of you here this morning who do feel close to God. But it might be that there are people who feel distant because of habitual sin. This week you have slipped into the same sins that you battle with every week, every day, and maybe you feel disheartened by that. Maybe you don't feel close to God because you're battling physical illness. Lots of things can affect us physically, can't they, which can affect the way we are spiritually. It may be, of course, that you don't feel close to God because actually this is the first time that you've thought about God since last Sunday. I mean, that's true. It could be, couldn't it? We were here last Sunday, but this week's just been so busy. Maybe in a busy job, or the kids have been running all over the place, whatever it may be. How close do you feel to God? Now, wherever we are spiritually, Colossians 3, these verses in Colossians 3, are just wonderful verses to hear. Because what these verses teach is about what it means to be in Jesus Christ, to be united to Jesus Christ. And if you just look at that first verse of chapter 3, it says this: if then you have been raised with Christ. Now, the sense that I actually was working out of the NIV, but it doesn't matter, I'll try and move between the two. The if then is a phrase of certainty. You are a Christian, you are raised with Christ. That's the sense of it. There's not an uncertainty there. But just meditate on that for a moment. Easy to rush past that. Since you have been raised with Christ, it's past tense. You, Colossians, have been raised. You, Christians in Duffield in 2015, you have been raised with Christ. But you say to me, but here we are in our earthly bodies this morning. What does this mean? How will it work out? You have been raised with Christ. See, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, we are in Christ. Part of the reason I chose Colossians to do it at Trinity over these last few weeks and months is because I don't think we understand enough that reality, that if we put our trust in Christ, we are in Christ. We're united to Christ. And what happened to Jesus has happened to us. And if you look in verse 3, it says, for you have died with Christ. So when you trust Jesus Christ, it's as if you died with Jesus on the cross. In his death, the punishment for your sin was paid for. And wonderfully, the power of sin was broken in your life, and we'll come to that. And now Jesus, of course, has been raised from death as Lord, and he went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, And when you trust Jesus, you are raised with Jesus in his resurrection. Note that. You have been raised. And where Jesus is, you are. So, it's a bit of a naff illustration. Think of a film. The star is knocked out. And then the star kind of wakes up, their eyes open, they try to focus, and they ask that classic question, where am I? Now, you answer that question as a Christian this morning. Where am I? Every day, every moment, the Christian is in Christ. But more than that, look at that first phrase again. You have been raised with Christ. And look where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Where are you this morning? Well, physically, we're here in Duffield at St. Altman's Church. But this morning you're seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. So as really as you are seated here this morning, the spiritual reality is that you've been raised with Christ and are seated with Christ. That is who I am as a Christian. And therefore, being raised with Christ means a new focus. See what it says. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above. Seek above. That's what it literally says. And verse 2 says, mind you above. So you've been raised with Christ, you are in Christ, and wonderfully in Colossians, Christ is in you by his Holy Spirit. Focus on that reality. Focus on that reality. So think of yourselves out for a walk. You fix the direction of your walk, maybe by a landmark on the horizon. That's the bearing, if you like. You're going to walk. And as you walk, you keep your eyes on that landmark. So every day, you take your spiritual bearings, if you like, from the spiritual reality of who you are in Christ. You see, the focus of your life, Paul is saying to the Colossians, is that you've been raised with Christ and you're united to him. Now that's very important for the Colossians, without wishing to go into what's happening in Colossae, but there are false teachers in Colossae, probably in and around the church, and they're probably saying something like, you know, Jesus is great. Jesus is great. Great for starters in the Christian life, but you don't have everything to bring you to God. You're not fully, properly Christian. You need our rules. You need our religious rituals to bring you to heaven. You're not proper Christians. You're not proper Christians because you haven't had these experiences. We have people who can bring you right into the heavenlies, so to speak. And these people are claiming that they've seen great things. Now, we don't have to focus on that a lot today, because just get this wonderfully clear. You see, you can't get closer to God, can you, than to be in Christ, can you? If you're united to Christ, if you're in Christ, you're as close to God as you can be. You know, where is Christ at this moment? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's seated. And you've been raised with Christ. And so our focus is on Christ. And in Colossians, it's all about growing in Christ. Not moving away from Christ, but growing in Christ. So we don't need man-made imposed rules or religious rituals or special experiences, whatever it may be, that claim to bring us closer to God, because we're in Christ. But of course, we are to keep that reality, if you like, right in focus, not let it go out of focus. Just look again at verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, earthly things there are obviously means the old ways where my sin ruled. That old life where my sinful nature is in control. And earthly things there means earthly religion. See, earthly religion is always telling you there are things you must do to get right with God. Here are rules to keep. Here are religious rituals that you must participate in. Here are special experiences you must have. No. You see, the focus is Christ. You've been raised with Him. Set your mind on things above. Seek above. Think above. The focus is in Christ. And actually, if you were to read on in Colossians, you'd see that affects absolutely every single area of life. We can't go there now. But absolutely every area of life, Jesus Christ is Lord, and we're to live out that. And let me say one other thing. Where it says, of course, set your minds on things above, that's got nothing to do with IQ. Absolutely nothing to do with IQ. Nothing to do with how many GCSEs you've got. Absolutely nothing. Because there may be some people who tend to think, well, I don't want to have to think. But of course we all think all the time. You've probably already thought about, what am I going to have for Sunday lunch? Every Christian thinks. Now, of course, this is what this is saying, is keep Christ as the focus of your life. And because of that, we will live differently. Can I see how profound this is in all kinds of ways? You may feel depressed or down. I suffer from depression on occasions. But I'm in Christ. Doesn't change necessarily the way that I feel, but I know that I belong to Christ, and He's to be my focus. See, being raised with Christ means that we don't let our circumstances rule us. So easy to let that happen, isn't it? Of course there'll be painful trials. Of course there'll be profound disappointments. There are fantastic joys, aren't there? We're in Christ. We've been raised with Christ. But we don't let our circumstances rule us. We may know the sadness of a failed relationship. We may be bereaved. We may be facing death. We may be mocked and ridiculed for being a Christian at work or at school or whatever. But you see, we set our minds on things above. You've been raised with Christ. Meditate on that phrase. You have been raised with Christ. You're in Christ. You've got a new life united to Christ. So let that reality be your focus, whatever you're going through. And of course, being raised with Christ means a new identity. Verse 3 says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, look, who is your life? A new identity, a new life. We often, don't we? Let me ask you that question. Where do you get your sense of value and purpose and identity from? your self-worth. We all get it from somewhere, those things. And of course, we go wrong, don't we, when we try to find our identity and our purpose, our significance, our value, our self-worth from earthly things, you see. Whereas, of course, the Christian finds those things in Christ. Now, of course, if we are, and Christians can slip back into this way of thinking, if we find our identity and purpose and significance outside of Jesus Christ, all of those things are inherently unstable. Those things can desert us in a moment, can't they? If we, our sense of worth comes from something which seems solid on the surface, something of this world, but of course it can go in a moment. Let me give an example. I've seen this in Christians. If I build my identity and purpose on being a good parent, I have no true self. I'm just a parent. And if anything goes wrong with my children or my parenting, there's no real me left. Or say the children leave home, as they will. Then what is my life? No, Christ is my life. Or say my identity and purpose and significance, my self-worth, all of these things are bounding together, come from my looks, or my job, or my hobby. And of course, if any of these are threatened, then I'm shaken. There may be people here who know the pain of redundancy. My father was made redundant at the age of 53. He'd worked for the company all his life. Thank you very much. Please clear your desk. It absolutely devastated him. But you see, all these things are unstable, aren't they? But the Christian is in Christ. We're raised with Christ. And my identity and worth and purpose and meaning come from that, don't they? I set my mind on things above, not on earthly things. But notice that what it says, that your life is hidden. Do you notice that in verse 3? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's not seen. We don't see it this morning, do we? We have to trust. Because that's why we're always vulnerable to false teachers who come with their man-made rules and religious rituals, and those who come saying, I've had great experiences, I can tell you all what heaven is like, or whatever it may be. They claim, this is what we've seen. But remember, if you trust Christ, you have fullness in him. It's been an argument of Paul in Colossians. You're in Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Keep that focus. And being raised with Christ means a new destiny. Isn't this wonderful? Look at verse 4. Great to have this at Advent. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that glorious? You're going to appear with Christ in glory. When he returns, you'll be there. And of course, if you know the future, if you know your destiny, you can live properly in the present. It puts everything in the right perspective. It gives a value to everything, doesn't it? The proper value, the proper place for everything. And of course, you can live with great security and great reassurance. You've been raised with Christ. You're coming back with Christ. I once heard of a teacher, a fellow teacher, I was a teacher, who made his pupils write their obituaries. Now, we might say, how odd to make 17-year-old pupils write their own obituaries. But it was an absolutely brilliant, inspired idea. Because the teacher's purpose was to make those young people evaluate how they wanted to live their life now in the light of that reality of death, and therefore be remembered. How do we want to be remembered? He lived for his golf. Derby County meant everything to him. I had Manchester United written in my notes. That's a cultural transposition. She grew lovely roses. Wouldn't it be lovely to have this written? Because she knew her destiny was united to Christ. She lived wholeheartedly for Jesus all her life. And what a blessing she was to so many. And then lastly, and I'm not going to say much about this, but being raised with Christ produces a new power to fight sin. A new power to fight sin. So look at verse 5, what Paul goes on to. Very practical, isn't it? Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Do you notice the phrases there? Put to death. It's a really violent expression, that. Put them to death. And then in verse 7, you must put them all away. Throw them off. Throw them off. What must you throw off? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And then you're to put on your new life. Your new life. And all the things that go with your new life, all the wonderful qualities that are going to be listed. If you look down at verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, there's huge amounts there. Please go and read it this week. Meditate on it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as Colossians is going to tell us in verse 16. But it may be there's somebody who said here, but haven't I died with Christ? And that is true, you have died with Christ. Jesus Christ has taken the punishment for your sin, so your sin is forgiven, and you're right with him, and he's broken the power of sin in your life, so that your sinful nature no longer rules you, but Christ does. But your sinful nature is still there, isn't it? Every morning when you wake up, it's still there. As are, of course, the temptations of the world. And the point is that united to Christ, you can fight sin. Can't fight sin if you're dead in your sins. Isn't that wonderful? You can fight sin because you're united to Christ. You're in Christ. You're raised with Christ. I'm in Christ. He's in me. The hope of glory, as it says earlier in Colossians. It's very important, therefore, isn't it, that when we're counseling people and encouraging people in the Christian life, in terms of living for Christ, that we don't go straight away to rules. In the NIV, the heading for this is Rules for Holy Living, which is a dreadful heading. I'm pleased to say in the ESV it says, put on the new self. Put on the new self. We don't go straight to rules. You must do this, you must do that. Why aren't you doing that? You say, where is your heart in relation to Christ? The key to fighting sin is Christ. Your focus. Christ. See, when facing temptation, what do you think about? Don't dwell on the temptation. Don't turn it over and over and over again. Think about who you are in Christ. You've been raised with Him. You have a new life in Him. And in Him, you have the power to fight sin. Can I say that if you are fighting sin, that is a good sign, isn't it? Because you can only fight sin united to Christ. It's a great sign. Fill your mind with Christ and who you are in Him. Put to death your sinful nature. Same with when your brain goes into neutral. What do you think about? So easy, is it? Compass bearing can go to all kinds of things. My sinful compass bearing at the moment, James heard this during the week, is to think, when can I retire and have an easy life? No. Christ is our life. Of course, there's a time when you have to stop. You know, I'll be going gaga or whatever, be pensioned off. But Christ is our life. See, the temptation for me is to, I just want to have an easy life. But Christ is my life. Live wholeheartedly for Christ. I'm going to close with this. I don't know if this is helpful, but it's what I do. Every morning when I wake up now, and I swing my legs out of bed, I now say, I am in Christ, and Christ is in me by His Holy Spirit. More than that, I've been raised with Christ. Today, Christ is my life. So take my life. Transform me. There's lots of work to do. Change me, renew me. Christ is my life. Let's pray. We read in Colossians 3:16 that the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this word of Christ would dwell in us richly this morning and through this coming week. Please help us to remember that if we put our trust in Jesus, we've died with Him, we've been raised with Him, we're wonderfully going to return with Him in glory. We're united to Christ. We have a new life in Him. So please help us to focus on that reality of who we are in Christ. And please help us to live out that reality of being in Christ, raised with Christ, through this coming week. And we ask this for the honour and glory of Christ and in His name. Amen.